This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and it is a fabulous day to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley. There's so much going on, and the national scene, which we're not going to talk about, and so many things going on downtown, actually, at the Capitol, with some demonstrations going, which we are going to talk about, because we sent Dave down there, because nobody else wanted to drive in the traffic, right? So Dave, I think, drew the short straw, and he'll be reporting to us a little bit later from the Capitol area, if he can get there, with all of the logging trucks, transportation trucks that are down there clogging, letting their voices be heard as Oregonians about what they think about the cap and trade bill that will hurt their livelihood but actually not accomplish any goals. So, oh yes, I'm allowed to do editorials, aren't I not? So at the board, we've got Hunter helping us out today, and in the studio, we do have a guest. I've added in, and my apologies to her and everyone else that we didn't have her in earlier, because we owe her a congratulations for winning a school board race in May and becoming Salem Kaiser School District's one of their brand new school board members. So we have Danielle Bethel. Welcome to the studio.
Hello.
Welcome back. It's nice to have you. Had you during the campaign a little bit. Talk about your run and your job as Salem Kaiser. So with Kaiser Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you do that full-time, and you get to volunteer and you're with the school board. And you're a mom, and I would like to have half your energy.
Yeah,
that would be
me too.
That's
I just manifest it every morning when I get out of bed.
She's just fired up, going everywhere, every which direction. So first of all, you know, congratulations, you won a race, and I thought it was really, really notable in the community.
Thank you. I did win, and I do believe it was notable, and it was an experience I will never forget.
I bet. So, do you mind talking about the campaign a little bit?
Sure.
So, Chuck Lee, who was also on the show. You're going up against an incumbent,
uh-huh.
An incumbent that has name recognition, who has a history, you know, as long as his arm with education, both being in schools and running schools and the school district and advocacy and blah, blah, blah. So you're running against this person, but you unseated him.
I did.
So that's really notable.
With a decent margin, too.
Oh, now she's bragging, Hunter.
I'm not bragging. I'm just saying.
So what was what do you think really ignited the voters, and what do you think really resonated?
That I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that when I was out in the community, kind of on the campaign trail, if you will, that the constant theme was you're relatable. People can connect with parents, and I have three kids in the schools. I'm present in kind of the same activities and challenges that all of our parents across the district are facing on a daily, weekly basis. And when someone asks me a question, I can compare it to an emotional experience or something that I have heard of. And I have the connections within the buildings in Kaiser specifically that I believe people want to utilize.
Well, that's another question is, you know, really, really huge FaceTime and name recognition in Kaiser due to your business advocacy and where your kids are going to school. Mm-hmm. But you had to get votes all over the city.
I did.
And how did you do that with the campaign? What's the strategy there?
Well, social media. I mean, I really believe that if you're going to run a campaign ever, you really need to get yourself established on social media. And I have already done that just as a mom and being a booster in Kaiser for a while. And then I worked on a project over in Northeast Salem, so that helped. In the recent past, and I believe those families knew who I was, even if they'd never met me personally because of that particular project. The South area, I had some substantial support from other parents that are housed in the Sprague and South areas that spent some time with me and shared their voice and support, and I believe that helped. And really, it's just pure grassroots. Moms are upset. They want to be heard. They want their kids to have great education, and they were talking.
Interesting. We're talking to Danielle Bethel, CEO of the Kaiser Chamber of Commerce and recently elected to the Salem Kaiser School Board, which you're going to take effect next This month, this upcoming in July.
Yeah, so my first official day, legally, I suppose, is July 1. That's Monday. And then our first board meeting is on July 16th, and that's when I'll be sworn in.
Wow. Going right to work.
I'm excited.
That is great. So, very interesting story as far as the campaign, getting your name out. And unfortunately, in America, so many times it is name recognition that wins. And a lot of times that name recognition is bought with dollars. And, and whether we see the governor or even the city council races, they get more and more and more expensive as people just try to say, hey, I've heard of that person, and check a box. But it sounds like your take on it is people not just knew your name, but knew what you stood for.
That, and I think you can go back and look at my campaign specific and look at the trail of money and see where it was coming from. And my campaign spent about $13,000 in comparison to the $50,500 that was spent to try to beat me. That's a significant difference. And I don't believe anymore that we're going to see moms and parents in general just looking for that name recognition. I think people are starting to really invest their emotion kind of in their daily lives and not just sitting back on the couch and being told what to think and who to like. And I really saw that, particularly in this campaign. The other candidates that were running on both sides of the aisle had, I would say, a significant amount of contributions of opinions from the community. But when we were traveling together in the group, going to the forums, there was a constant theme, and it was emotion. People are starting to really fester in their frustrations, and it's starting to come out. That's unique to me. I've been in policy and politics for 17 years, and as a candidate sitting at the table, receiving the questions and the energy that was coming with them was exciting for me.
Very interesting. You know, there's some parallels, I think, to what you started at the top of the hour. When you're, could you mention the word policy?
Yeah.
And people who are great at policy, and Chuck Lee, obviously, and one of his strengths that he was communicating during the campaign is, hey, I've been through a process of hiring a superintendent. I've been through the process of spending bond measure funds and approving through these things and the maintenance, the upkeep, and I've been through these. And so I have a historical knowledge, right? But then there's, you know, sneakers in the building.
Yeah.
I won't say boots on the ground, but there's sneakers in the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing this at the Capitol, which we'll talk about with Dave here in a little bit, where, hey, this affects people, real Oregonians' lives, and we want you to know that we're feeling it.
Yeah.
Right? And so you are the person that's sent there to give the perspective, hey, my sneakers are in the building, my kids are in the building, and the perspective of parents has to be represented. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot to be said about Chuck's experience. And I think that he served our district for the 12 years that he was there in a great way. But I think we're, as a community, looking for something different. And that's why I won. Not because he ever did a bad job, because he did an excellent job. And I appreciated his phone call on Wednesday after the election night. We had a great conversation, and I respectfully asked if he'd be willing to allow me to reach out and engage on historical things. And he, of course, said, yeah. And I know him personally. We live in Kaiser.
Yeah.
He's just up the road from me. I see him every week. So even though he's not in the chair, he's not off the hook. Sure of that.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We're with Daniel Bethel talking about how she is soon to be making policy for your Salem-Kaiser schools. And we've got Dave on the road downtown at the trucker protest, really, on House Bill 2020 going on at the Capitol. When we come back, we're going to ask Danielle how she is getting geared up, how she's getting staff and other board members training her to get ready to take to be effective right away. I'm Brent DeHart. Dave is in his car somewhere, and you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. And you're listening to Newsmakers. Later this hour, we're going to have the first time segment with Sergeant Mike. Sergeant Mike's going to come on and have a little chat. And so that's coming up later this hour. And, of course, we've got Dave. I think he's trying to call in. And I was just kidding. He's not in his car. He's in the KYKN van downtown trying to scope out the situation downtown at the Capitol as people want to know that their livelihoods are at stake. Their livelihoods are being threatened. How much money they take home to their own houses and pay their rents, pay their mortgages, and send their kids to school. All right, that's all about House Bill 2020, the cap and trade we've been talking about a lot this week. And they want the Democrats, I'd like to say the representatives and senators, but it's really just the Democratic representatives and senators who are voting for this exclusively, to know that, hey, we're real people and we shouldn't. Maybe I'll have a chance to talk about this by the end of the hour. In the meantime, we got Danielle at Bethel here. So let's talk to Danielle. Kaiser Chamber CEO, board member elect, soon to be sworn in and taking her first board meeting in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, July 16th.
Wow, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you get ready? I mean, I know you did a lot of research and you're paying attention. But there's going to be agendas and there's going to be carryover actions and stuff. And of course the bond measure and all these things. How do you get up to speed? Is the staff jump in and set some time aside for you?
Yeah. So I've already met with the superintendent and the COO of the district. Both people that I know very well because of the other roles that I hold here in the community, just as a volunteer in general, mm-hmm. different stakeholder groups, and the other projects that I have done in the past as a volunteer. And yesterday, I met with Mike Wolf, who's the COO, and we kind of went through the policy guidelines that govern the board right now and the budget that's coming in, because that was recently voted on by the outgoing board of directors. Mm. And so it was really high level. I have a lot of questions. I'm going to have a lot of questions. Really, I wanted those meetings so that way I could be very transparent with both of them, because I believe I'll be working with them a fair amount over the next 4 years. And I want folks to know that I'm asking to understand. And there's going to be a lot of asking. And I believe that when I ask questions, not only am I getting the answer, but I believe it provides information to my community who really mm-hmm. needs more transparency and the ability to kind of mull through things and understand more what's going on to govern the district. You brought up the bond. Just yesterday, I posted on my school board Facebook page the construction that's happening at McNary High School and Gubser Elementary. And I received an instant message from a mom here in Kaiser who had no idea that we were adding on to McNary, which I get. Not everybody follows the news and what's going on kind of around them. And she had a lot of really great questions, which leads me to think that we need to be doing some more promotion. And that's one of my main responsibilities, I believe, as a school board member, is to be sharing information within my community.
Yes, that could be, I think, given your experience in social media, getting elected, this and that, getting the word out in the different ways that people receive their information and get that to them. And also, when an elected asks a question in a public forum, a lot of times, sometimes that question is, the person who's asking, I did this as well.
Uh-huh.
You ask the question, you know the answer, but you want it discussed in a public forum.
Correct.
You want everyone to be able to understand it. Or you've received questions from your community, right?
Right.
And they've come to you, and you want to make sure that they're addressed. And that's, you're kind of a conduit. You serve as an elected official conduit.
Correct.
To bring that question or that issue to the forefront, mm-hmm. or at least to public awareness, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm glad you get that.
I
you
do. Know?
So... I have tried to ask this question a few different times, different ways. I don't think I'm communicating well. When I ran for city council, there were a couple of topics that I really thought I was going to be of value for,
mm-hmm.
and that I was going to have a lot of passion for. One was public safety, and one was the budget. Are there a couple of categories in particular about the role of, I mean, a lot of people aren't even sure what a school board gets to vote on and what they don't, but are there subject matters like that that drive you more than others?
I don't know that there's a policy subject matter that really drives me forward and or is even the reason why I ran for school board. For me personally, I really want to see more influence and partnership on collaboration within my community. I think that the district being as giant as it is and serving as many individuals that it does serve, we could do a much better job of bringing more people to the table to provide the resources, the ideas, and the execution to solutions of particular things that we're facing in our community. As a mom, my last or my youngest daughter is now transitioning to middle school. So I'm now leaving the elementary school life kind of behind as a parent. But over the last year, I really saw some challenges within our building, particularly at my school, that I thought, you know, I have a friend over here at this nonprofit that could really help with that. Or I know this person over here that could really come in and help with that. And it wouldn't be an additional cost to the district as far as writing a check. When we look at that, we have to look at what's the time burden when we bring collaboration to the table. And so that is something that I'm going to be spending a fair amount of time with the superintendent, really investigating and getting to know the cost-benefit analysis of bringing partners to the table that we may not be writing a check out of the budget for, but we are writing a paycheck to somebody to spend that time, and how does that impact our classroom specifically?
Yes, and student engagement. Right?
Yep.
I like it when I get it right, because Danielle has a way of her, she gives me expression like, you got that one. Yeah. You get this right. And Brent's like, he's not the dunce. Everyone thinks he is. No. Okay. So who do you think, you mentioned some people in the South Salem District, the Sprague District. You feel that other people that are instrumental in getting you there? I mean, obviously you didn't have a big out of state funder that makes this whole thing happen. It was all kind of grassroots and word of mouth and social media. Anybody you want to credit in that regard of really helping put you over the top?
Yeah, I early on in my campaign, Laura Moret really stepped up to the table to get the word out. Treva Gams of Gamberetti's is really supportive of me. And between the two of them, I met some really great people. Anne Marie Calderazzo Defoe is a mom and a community volunteer in South Salem. Most people who know her as Coach Defoe's wife. He's the football coach at South Salem High School. And she and I met late in the campaign. And I have a tendency to kind of be really passionate. If you ever have a chance to spend some time with me and I can, you know, completely run at something full emotion. She really invested in what I was sharing and my frustrations that I was experiencing from the school board that we had, you know, up until now. And I believe because she connected on that emotional wavelength, she was able to share with her very large community of parents who I was and what I was standing for. And that really, I believe, captured that South Hub attention. Even though I had gone to a couple of forums there, those forums were very specific in the people that were attending. I went to one that was mostly progressive in nature as far as the attendees. Salem City Council kind of folks were there. And, you know, politically, this is a nonpartisan position.
Right.
But politics come up in every election, no matter what the seat. And that, of course, occurred here.
It's one of the things that many things that's kind of going sideways in America is everybody thinks that something has to be D or R.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know. We're going to get to think like, well, it's going to be a D or R whether the sun should rise in the east or not.
Yeah.
It's like some things are just R. Smaller classroom sizes. Okay. Do we please not make that a partisan issue and just decide whether or not this is good public policy? Yeah. It's very frustrating, especially when you're holistically trying to improve something that is pragmatic.
Yes.
Right.
Well, and at the end of the day, you can label me whatever you want, but I'm pretty proud of being an emotionally charged mom.
Emotionally charged mom. That is the new party. Talking to Danielle Bethel, soon to join Salem Kaiser School Board. Have you talked to the other board members? And specifically, have you sat down with Dr. Chandragiri, who's also a newbie and probably has less previous experience in, you know, commissions and volunteer roles in the school district? But his, you know, we've had him on Newsmakers as well, and his issue was, of course, mental health.
Yeah.
And that was strong. He's wanted us to advocate for some changes and some common sense changes that might more make sense in the district.
Yeah. So Satya campaigned with me. Oh. So I spent several weeks with him over the last few months, and I got to know him pretty well. I'm really blessed to know him. I believe that we offer a really great balance between the two of us coming into this board. He is definitely calmer than I am. I'm, you know, like I said earlier, I get pretty excited, but he's so knowledgeable about mental health, and it's something that everybody can sit down and listen to the situations that we're experiencing and want to reach for solutions. And I really admire the time he has spent. He has a blog, if you haven't had a chance to look at it. I don't know, remember what it is, but you could search it. And he's already put some white papers out on things we can be doing. And I've read them, and they're not things that you go, oh my gosh. They're just, they're laid out. His solutions are laid out practically, so we can go through it and say, yeah, this makes sense to our community. And really look at the root cause of the issues and connect our community to those challenges that these students are facing.
Wow. Oh, I'm glad you had that experience. I would love, we're going to have him back on, because it is, it's dumbfounding, I think, for the American public to look and see how many kids are giving up on life.
Yeah.
Right? That they cannot see literally decades upon decades, you know, of life in front of them, and ups and downs, and our ability to deal, and what are we training, are we not training, and where's the disconnect? And not just those extreme cases, but the amount of stress the kids have, that then a lot of them handle it, but it's still not conducive to learning. It's not conducive to growing up and having a full, healthful life in your youth. So, yeah, it'd be great to have him in. We'll have him in on Newsmakers and try to flesh some of that out. Although I have a feeling we should have a whole conference in the city about this topic.
Yeah, agreed.
So, well, great. I'm glad you had that experience. And, of course, Marty did get reelected. So, two newbies coming on, fresh blood. I hope that you have an experience where you can have immediate effect. Sometimes it's frustrating because you want something to happen and it's common sense.
It's a big ship.
Can we just make this change now?
I have to say, one of the things that I'm most proud about is the biggest projects that I've done within our district both took me to completion 2 years. So I know that nothing long term is going to be done in a short term period of time. And I'm in it for the long haul. It's a 4-year term, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go away in 4 years. I don't know what that looks like as far as an elected seat, but this is my community.
All right, we're almost out of time, but I'm going to throw you a bomb, maybe for a future discussion.
Sure.
I would love to have more discourse and discussion, and maybe and I think I asked you this when you were on in May or April, about the difference between integrating kids who are immigrants from a different language in the household, and whether or not we should be immersing them in the English language, or doing a dual language program, or in some cases separating them from the classroom until they're proficient in English, and all of these different options and how we handle people and get them their best future opportunities if they have a language barrier coming into the school district. There's so many things having to do with language that sometimes gets emotional instead of pragmatic.
Yeah.
And then people start calling people names. It's like, I happen to believe that the best thing we can do for our kids of any background from any country, if they're going to stay in America to give them full opportunities to enjoy America, they should speak the language very proficiently. And, you know, you start saying, like, well, you hate Mexicans then. Well, no, I don't hate Mexicans. Well, you want them to abandon the heritage then. Like, no, actually, I don't want them to abandon the heritage or the language. But really, whether it's running for office, as you have, and you're very well spoken, by the way, Danielle.
Thank you.
Are
you wondering if we're setting them up for success or not in the current state that we have them?
Yeah. And I want to know if it's data-driven or emotion-driven. And I want to see results. And sometimes it's policy gets decided about how people feel about things and not necessarily what is proven.
Welcome to humanity.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for being here today. We're going to have to go to a break and bring back Sergeant Mike and talk to Dave, who is waiting out there patiently to tell us what's going on at the Capitol. Daniel Bethel, congratulations again, being a school board member. Thank you for taking time out of your family, taking time out of your skills and your talents and your life to serve the district.
Thanks for having me here.
Great to have you. All right, hold on, folks. We'll be right back. We'll talk about what's going on at the Capitol. And Sergeant Mike will be here with an all-new segment here on Newsmakers. This is 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. We've got Dave Bourne out on the streets. He's a man on the streets. He's a streetwalker out there. Hey, Dave, can you hear us?
Yes, of course I can hear you.
Where are you?
All of Salem is hearing these protesters no on House Bill 2020, which is the cap of trade. I'm at the corner of Port and Capitol Street. I actually had to move away from the front of the Capitol because it is so loud. We're talking hundreds of trucks. We're talking tractors, dump trucks, most of them donning American flags. And they are letting the Capitol know that they want no on House Bill 2020, the cap and trade bill. And another bill that they're protesting as well is House Bill 2007. And if you don't know what that is the diesel fuel restriction. They want to change the diesel and the way that it's made, and that would cost even more money. You can hear them out here. They're on Court Street, circling the Capitol building, blowing their horns, letting the Capitol know that they want no on House Bill 2020.
So was this planned ahead of time? Because Senate President Peter Courtney had announced that the bill is probably dead at this point and didn't have the votes, but they still wanted to make sure that it dies a certain death?
Yeah, they're making sure because they don't trust the Democrats that they're going to actually vote no on the bill, even though they claimed that it was dead. They're making sure that they're listening and they're paying attention to what the legislature is doing.
And this does provide cover for some Democrats who may use the public outcry as saying, hey, I don't think we're fully fleshed out here, so I'm going to go from the fence to a no because of the demonstration, right?
That's what I'm thinking right now. And we're talking all walks of life here. It's not just the log truck drivers. We're talking dump trucks, tractors, large pickups. There is a horse trailer here even that just said, we are the people, and we're watching.
Wow.
One guy had a huge haystack of bundles on his truck, and it was spelled out, no HB 2020.
Well, it'll definitely affect agriculture. It'll definitely very painfully hurt people who are in the transportation business. So I can imagine that they're all coming out. And those, we're talking to Daniel Bethany. He goes, yeah, those are real Oregonians with real jobs and real bottom lines. So, So is it gridlock down there?
They're moving about 5 miles an hour past the Capitol right now, making sure that they're heard.
And the
policemen are just standing around watching, I guess.
Well, good. Peaceful protest, hopefully effective protest. And we can hear them in the background there. So thanks for all your best efforts going down there today and trying to find
a
place on the corner where you're not overblown with the horns from all the trucks.
Well, I moved about a block away because there's several hundred protesters that are right in front of the state capitol who have set up tents, and they're donning their umbrellas here in the rain and just waving their banners saying no on House Bill 2020. And I've seen several of them with no on 2007. That's House Bill 2007 with the diesel changes that they want to do with the diesel.
Wow. Well, this is where, as we've talked about in Newsmakers, people talk in theory, people speak in ideals, people pontificate on policy, and then it has effects on real people and their livelihoods and whether or not they feed their kids, keep a roof over their head, have and get to keep some of the money they earned. Talking in theory, speaking on ideals, or pontificating on policy is one thing, but make a change that Oregonians are not on board with. They're hearing a backlash.
Yeah, one of the trucks that just rolled by here was South Coast Lumber.
South Coast.
And imagine how far he came for this.
Wow. All right, Dave, thanks for being out there. Appreciate it. We'll have you back in the studio tomorrow. But we're going to segue back to a brand new segment here on Newsmakers. That was Dave Bourne out in front of the Capitol in downtown Salem on the demonstration taking place for No on 2020. All right, so we're going to welcome the studio. No stranger to the building, of course, Sergeant Mike. If you're a KYKN listener, you've heard from Sergeant Mike, and we've got Cowboy Ron with him. And this is all new, folks. You are listening to the very first segment of Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron. I have a feeling the two of these gentlemen, we're going to call them gentlemen. I can think of a couple other adjectives, but these gentlemen could probably solve all of the world's problems if we give them enough airtime. So, hey, Sergeant Mike, welcome to your own studio.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
And you want to introduce your cohort, Cowboy Ron?
Cowboy Ron is a man that loves the West. He is the owner of Gun Crafters Store in Salem, and he's a retired general contractor. And he just made a comment to me a while ago. He's never taken a dollar of unemployment insurance. And he's paid plenty in, but he's never taken any out because if you don't work today, you don't eat today. That's his background right there. So how you doing, Ron?
Well, thank you, sir. Thanks for inviting me to come in. But it was great. It's a good thing to say to everybody, and it makes me feel good never to draw a dime of unemployment. All I did I'm 73 years old, and all I've done is work. And when I worked, I got a paycheck and paid my bills.
You know, we're gonna have a short segment each week of 15 or 20 minutes maybe, and just a couple of old codgers in their 70s.
That was one of the adjectives I was thinking of,
yeah.
Sergeant Mike.
but we're both still working, and we like going to work every day, and we're not pleased with, the way our state government is being run. And so I think... our president is irritating a whole lot of people, but he's doing a whole lot of things right. He just, when you make those kind of changes and get to negotiating with people and saying, well, I don't like it that way, so we're going to do this till you come my way.
The great thing about that is that he says no.
Yes, he does.
Instead of saying, well, let's cut a deal. Let's go easy. He says no. I like the word no.
Yeah. It's been a long time since it's been heard back there. You know, I tell you, I am very proud of our Republican senators for hightailing it out of the state. Everything against them. But that's taking action. That's just not baloney and talking about it and rolling over. They know they don't have a majority, but they know also that they can affect things. And they surely heck did, probably over in Vancouver.
That's a sanctuary state, isn't it?
You know,
Washington.
Go.
Yeah, I like that.
So, and you didn't see the cops go chase them down anywhere. I mean, you hear about it, and they said, "Yes, okay, we'll do that," but nobody's going to go to jail in this.
No comment.
And so, how do you feel about that, Ron? Do you think that's a good idea for them?
I think it's a great idea. It's been used both ways for years. So it's something. It's a vehicle. It's a choice that we have to bring out this protest. These people are coming forth saying 2020 bill and 2007. It's poor legislation, and I would hope that before we get to this point, if somebody leading our state would say, don't even bring this kind of thing forward. All you're doing is creating a new state agency, overhead of fuel and product that's going to go right down to the consumer. That's where it's coming to. State agency is getting bigger and bigger. Who's going to run it? Probably some appointed person.
Yeah. You made a comment to me earlier. My family and I moved here from Roseburg with Payless Drugstore in 1975, and good company, by the way, and you worked hard and you got paid. That's logging country down there, and it was really much greater then than now, but you made a comment about the diesel fuel and the pollution that loggers aren't making, and you said something about the cleanliness on the inside of the truck and the outside of the truck and made more efficiency.
You know, I just came down 17th Street to get here, and I had to do a lot of juggling because I wish the listeners and the people of Oregon could see this demonstration. These log trucks and trucks are immaculate. They're well kept. They're clean burning, and they're efficient. None of these loggers or these truckers are going to go down the highway or through the woods with a diesel truck that gets 0 miles an hour, one or two. They want it burning good, clean, efficient, and powerful to get back and get it to the mills and get back and bring veneer and bring product. And this is a good business management situation. It's a choice. You have good equipment, you don't use junk, and you keep it up. These people, this bill is pointed toward the loggers.
Yeah.
And it would be quite interesting where that bill came from.
Yeah.
But these loggers are proud of their trucks. They keep them up. They're chrome. They're beautiful. They're washed. And they're efficient.
And so it lasts longer. They don't have to go spend $200,000 very often.
Amen.
And their fuel costs are lower. And so they operate more efficiently. So that all trickles down.
It all trickles down to cost.
Yeah.
It's whomever is running a business, and let's say business estate.
Sure.
You've got to do an accounting, a productivity evaluation of every situation you have, and you cut it, change it, modify it.
I was reading a report from the Salem Reporter today, and they went and interviewed this lady, said Senator Shemaya Fagan, a Democrat from Portland, one of the more vocal and liberal members of the Senate, said she's had a police escort for the last 2 days because everybody's going to be worried that people go after her. And she said, but so far there's been no issues with the protesters. Nobody bothered me. Well, of course they weren't. I don't know who was saying that, you know, some guy's going to get a gun and come after you.
Well, what you should have done is that escort should have been busy picking up the bad guys.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I don't know if you guys are prepared to weigh in on this, guys. We've got Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron here in the studio. And I want to know who's going to pay the carbon bill for all the trees they allow to burn down since we can't manage them.
Right? I just came.
Who's going to pay that?
Hey, here's one for
We're
you.
We're going to tax that.
I get ready for this one. Yeah, get ready for this one. I just came back from Seneca. I dropped off some merchandise at Seneca. I drove Saturday night, Sunday. And I go up through Hoodoo and across there by Hoodoo Ski Bowl and see all these trees that they haven't got planted yet. And we didn't take the trees that got burnt. But you know what they need to do is just go plant some trees, get some clear cut, and get some good vegetation going. Simple.
Oh, that wouldn't cause higher taxes. So we can't.
Cleaner air.
It gives you some trees to sell for education.
All right, Cowboy Ron, Sergeant Mike, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to give you guys the rest of the hour. You're listening to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We got Dave Bourne driving around at the Capitol, and we're going to be right back. 1430 KYKN, Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Dave Bourne is out on location, and we have a special feature today, the first ever, with Sergeant Mike, who I think all your listeners are familiar with, and Cowboy Ron, talking about their views of the world. And
Oregon.
Yeah, we're going to focus on Oregon.
Yeah, we got to work on Oregon.
Well, what could make it a better place? And I think we'll just put these two in charge. Good. What do you think, Sergeant Mike?
Sergeant Mike says, quit taxing us so much. And causing everything to go up in price, and everybody being so used to a handout. We were talking last week. I have four children. Two of them, the first two, were able to pick strawberries and beans. Okay, and they always had plenty of money, and they had to get up and get with it and go to work. But they were done at noon, and they all had, you know, a couple hundred dollars by the end of the summer. It was over. And they were 12, 13, 14, 15, like that. My other two kids were about 8 years apart from them, and they weren't allowed to go in, work and pick beans and pick strawberries. That all changed, and those jobs went elsewhere to other people. And so our kids, they didn't work. And my oldest two are way more... they take care of their money better, and the other two, just kind of expect money to come. And they're not bad kids. I don't mean that. All raised in the same house. But they always, things were always kind of given to them. And that's one of the things we're talking about right now with all the protesting and stuff that our guys are doing out there. Now, you worked, and well, you still do, cowboy. You got your horses, and, you know, when you had a company for 30, 40 years?
Yeah, almost 50.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And now, that's a great topic. It's a great thing you just brought up. Senator Wayne Morris, I'll never forget, because as a berry picker, bean stringer, hay hauling, dairy work, farm work, we all worked, and we didn't have a child labor law. And then pretty soon somebody comes along and says, we have to have a child labor law, that took these young people, like myself, I'd already evolved through it. But you take a 12-year-old child, he is capable, he or she is capable of picking berries, stringing beans, which we don't anymore, we have bush beans, but doing picking the cherries, picking the crops. And one issue that I'd like to bring up is, here we've had years of that, of leaving our children home, not
decades,
and these kids are non-productive, don't know how to work. They can be taught how to work, and they can be taught how to work right now. So our representation, you're responsible for to take care of Oregon and make Oregon a prosperous, budgeted, stay on a budget state. Amend these laws that are put back in law. Amend them. Let's go back and say, okay, now we can have 14-year-olds go pick strawberries. And there's no reason in the world why they can't. But I'm the type that wants to say, okay, in business, you're running, you've got a business going, you got a couple of hiccups in it, you've got to change that or you're going to be broke and file bankruptcy.
Yeah.
You follow me?
It's
real simple. And the state of Oregon needs to be aware of that too, is let's do some accounting. But let's do some amending. We've got some federal laws. We're not supposed to talk about the feds over here. I just beat this guy on my shoulder. But the feds, we've got the Wild Horse and Burrow Act. We've got the Endangered Species Act that have been working for a few decades or years, a few years. And I'll try to stay close to the mic. Mm-hmm. Thank you. But we need to amend them. They're not working, and they're not efficient. They're costing too many dollars. So I'd say let's amend some bills and let's look at what comes forth from some special interest or somebody that has an idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Cowboy Ron. I'm going to interrupt the boss man here and Sergeant Mike. Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron, that's not the last we're going to hear from them, but we're going to sign off for today. And tomorrow we've got a great show. We've got three guests coming in, Aaron White, and we've got the Volcanoes coming in. And anyway, it's going to be a great show tomorrow. Be sure to come back and be with us then. You will hear these gentlemen, Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike, as a regular feature.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having them on again. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.